The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
Well, I'm praying for all of your safety tonight. I have not made it any secret at all that I am a teetotaler. Plan to continue to be that way. I have made it no secret that, frankly, I hate booze of all kinds. And tonight is one of the reasons why I do. People will do the dumbest, most stupid things tonight because they're under the influence of alcohol. And please don't forget, alcohol is a mind-altering drug. Now, if you have convictions different from mine, that's fine. I will not judge you. I will not think any less of you. I will not judge your spirituality, and I mean that. I will not. But please don't judge me for my position as well. I can guarantee you I will not wake up in the morning with a hangover. This really troubles me, not just the acceptance of alcohol in the evangelical church, which is new, folks. Listen, you got to admit this is new. You go back 40 years ago, if you were an evangelical Christian, you did not drink. Period. You just didn't. If you go back 40 years ago, today, it's so accepted. And again, please don't take this as judgmental. It's not judgmental. It's an observation. I see this with my friends on Facebook all the time. People who love God with all their hearts. They're at this bar. They're at their bar. They've got a little wine here. They got a bit of beer there. And it is just a huge change, shift concerning the attitude of alcohol in the evangelical community in the last 40 years. I mean, it is enormous. And 40 years ago, I would have been in the solid majority. If you love Jesus, you don't drink. That was just, that's what we were taught, you know? Today, I would imagine I'm in the minority today. And that's okay. I've been in the minority a lot of my life. But let me just say one thing further, and I had no intention to go into this at all. Not only acceptance, but an embracing of alcohol in the evangelical community. It's throughout our culture. Have you noticed this? Okay, let me back up. My family, we didn't drink. My parents didn't drink. Aunts and uncles did and so forth. And again, I didn't judge them and think they were terrible and horrible. It's just we didn't, they did, and that's okay. But growing up, I remember hearing over and over and over again, a sign of an alcoholic was drinking before lunchtime. Anybody who drank a beer, wine, anybody who drank any alcoholic beverage in the morning was a drunk. They had a problem. Do you remember that? If you're over 40 years old, I think most of you would remember that. You know, even the people who drank responsibly, well, they're drinking a beer at 10 o'clock in the morning. Boy, they got a problem. Have you noticed the change in that? Have you noticed the beer companies advertising beer in the morning now? Just a few years ago, even in the community of people who accepted social drinking, never in the morning. I don't remember which, I don't care, but one of the beer companies has been advertising heavily. Here's these two guys, they're roommates, and they're out of bed, they're still in their pajamas, and they're going to watch football, and it's obviously they've just gotten up, it's in the morning, and the first thing they do is grab beers out of the refrigerator. Now, again, just a few years ago, everybody would have looked down on that. One of the major sportscasters who has Columbus connections is part of a commercial that I've heard on radio several times. Talk about how great it is to get up on Saturday morning and pop open a cold one, again, in the morning. I don't get that. But there has been a relaxing, not just in the evangelical community, but in our community as a whole, with drinking. And we're beginning to pay the price for it. We are. As a culture, as a society, we are beginning to pay a price for it. Well, again, I had no intention of going off on that. And now that I've offended about half of you, it is not my intention to offend you. But I am not going to be shy about sharing my convictions. Okay? And I'm not embarrassed or ashamed of them. And like I said, I'm not going to judge you either. So, all right. This story is, talk about concerning. Headline, American universities are using social credit systems to track students. I'm going to run out of time here before the next break. But it's a shocking story about several major universities in America, including Syracuse, Central Florida State, Missouri University, Indiana University, and several other, Virginia Commonwealth University, a bunch of American universities are using a system called Spotter EDU. And what they're doing is they are, well, they don't like the word tracking. They use monitor. They are monitoring their students on campus, where they go, when they go, so that professors can know the kids that are going to class, the kids that are not going to class, the kids that are showing up late, and so forth. They have this massive data system and a spotter system on campus that pings the cell phones of the students on campus. So they know where they are, what they're doing, when they're in class, when they're not in class, and so on. And then the students are graded partially on this monitoring. Talk about Big Brother. Syracuse University Professor Jeff Rubin, who teaches Introduction to Information Technology, said they want the points. So in other words, the kids are getting attendance points determined by the tracking of their cell phone. The professor said, quote, "They know I'm watching and acting on it. So behaviorally, they change." Quote, he was referring to the app, Spotter EDU, the app's ability to socially engineer his students. Spotter EDU currently is working with about 40 schools across America. The app uses Bluetooth beacons, which installers stick on walls and ceilings, to ping a student's smartphone. The app then records a student's presence so advisors know when they are not in attendance or have temporarily stepped out of the room for a break. Quote, students today have so many distractions, Tammy Chivas, an associate athletic director at the University of Missouri, told the Washington Post. We have to make sure they're doing the right thing. One of the experts created a euphemism to explain what his app does. He told the Washington Post he prefers the term monitored instead of tracked, because the former supposedly carries a negative connotation. Listen to this. This is chilling. It's about building a relationship so that students know you care about them by tracking their every move. The university is saying, we care about you. And so we're going to track every move you make. The app and the technology is gaining popularity on college campuses across America. The team designs a set of high-tech algorithms to look for patterns in a student's behavior and automatically flag when their habits change. Doesn't that sound a lot like the social credit system that is causing so much concern in communist China? Yeah, it's happening on college campuses today in America.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
Oh, my goodness. Most of you know we have a TV monitor here in the studio. And most days we have Fox News on. Sometimes I change it to other stations. But right now Fox News is on. And a commercial is playing from the WWF. I think that's the World Wildlife Fund, I believe. And it was this heart-breaking, tear-jerking commercial about polar bears. They're all going to die. They're going to be extinct. Now, the sound is not off, but I could read what it was saying. It had closed caption down at the bottom and so forth. As temperatures rise, sea ice is melting and there, you know, and then it shows some polar bears on dry ground. Folks, most of you are smarter than the average bear. Now, there are places that sea ice is receding. There are also places that the sea ice is higher, deeper than it has been for years. It is also true that the population of polar bears is larger today than it has been in years. Polar bears are not in danger. And if there's this commercial begging for money, please help us save the polar bears, send us... Oh. Ah. All right. One of the staff here at the radio station put this in my box today. And evidently it was written by a friend of his in North Carolina who is a part of Duke University's North Carolina Leadership Forum. And they participated with the Cato Institute's public opinion poll. And the article that I'm holding in my hand is written by the Cato Institute's public opinion analyst, Emily Elkins. They just published the results of their 2019 Welfare, Work, and Wealth poll. And again, this is from the Cato Institute. 2019 Welfare, Work, and Wealth poll. What is fascinating about this is the difference in worldviews between conservatives and liberals. Quote, most relevant here is the battery of questions about why what psychologists call the locus, L-O-C-U-S, not focus, locus, L-O-C-U-S of control. Some people believe that almost everything that happens to in their life is because of external things that they can't help. Government, the world around them. In other words, most of the things that happen to them, they have no control over. Then there is the locus of control, the worldview that says most of the things that happen to me, I am responsible for. Two different worldviews. One, I'm not responsible. It's other people. It's government, and government needs to take care of me and so forth. Listen to this, and I'm gonna run out of time. Consider this statement. My life is determined by my own actions. 52% of people who responded as a conservative agreed with that statement. 52% of conservatives said, yeah, my life is determined by my own actions. Only 33% of liberals agreed. In other words, the overwhelming percentage of liberals say, I can't help it. It's not my fault. Then here's another one on the poll. When I get what I want, it's usually because I worked hard for it. 53% of conservatives agreed with that. When I get what I want, it's usually because I worked hard for it. Only 30% among liberals believed that what they get is because they worked hard for it. And then there's this one. I feel like what happens in my life is mostly determined by powerful other people. 61% of conservatives disagreed with that statement. I feel like what happens in my life is mostly determined by other powerful people. Only 34% of liberals disagreed with that statement. In other words, the overwhelming majority of liberals say, yeah, everything that happens in my life is because of powerful people and I can't help it. What a contrast between worldviews. That's why you and I talk about worldview constantly. The difference between taking responsibility and blaming everybody else in circumstances. Conservative Bible-believing people take responsibility. Liberals blame others. Hey, have a wonderful New Year's. Please be safe. And the next time you and I will talk will be in 2020. Please remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.